you've received Christ as Savior and Lord, you're more than welcome to partake of the Lord's Supper with us. It's a good time to remember these things. And when I talk about, as we all get older, it's amazing how our memory and what we remember becomes selective. And like I said, I've been in ministry 30 years. Half of that has been youth ministry. That's why I chase rabbits and crazy, and that started out here, so it's your fault. But if you think I was bad here, those of you who are still here, Mike and Linda, my good friends from Oklahoma, they're sitting back here with Heather. Don't ask them any questions, because I spent the majority of my youth ministry in Coweta, Oklahoma. We were there 9 years, and they were in youth ministry with us. And don't ask them about the ribbon dancer. I was talking to Mike the other day, and he was telling me his church, his college students want to meet the ribbon dancer, so we won't get into that. We used to do videos, and we have a video called WrestleMania, and no, you're not going to see it, but it was pretty cool. And anyway, and I guess it's an internet sensation, but we won't get into that. But the thing about it is, when I meet people, it's the things they, like those that I've done youth with, the things they choose to remember that stick out to them. And we're all selective. I have a brother and two sisters, and we grew up together, but the things they choose to remember, it's like a crime scene. They remember this part of growing up. I remember this part. It's whatever sticks out to you. And so, but what we're talking about here today, why did God say that we need to remember and continue to do this, and what is this about? And for some of you, it's old hat, but the thing about it is he really stressed before he went to the cross and died and was buried and rose from the grave that we need to continue to do this. So we're going to pause and think about that for a minute. We can choose to remember the wrong things or remember the right things about Christ, and we can choose either to, Satan will want you to remember your sin. He's good about that, because when you remember your sin or your past, it keeps Christians from going forward and being used by God. We need to remember we're forgiven.
Amen.
And so your action step today is remember His grace. Remember His grace. And your points will spell out the word grace. And what I did is I went, you know, in the Gospels, the Lord's Supper is mentioned in all the Gospels. And then when we do the Lord's Supper, we usually, and today, we go to 1 Corinthians. And so what I did is I looked at all those accounts of the Lord's Supper to kind of piece together, why is this important? And what do we need to remember? Matthew 26, verses 26 and 28 says this: "And they were eating, and Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, 'Take and eat it. This is my body.' And he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them and said, 'Drink from it, all of you, for this is my body of the covenant, my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins.'" We need to understand the background of this, and it's important. Old Testament is just as important as New Testament. We sin in chapter 3 of Genesis, and God begins to move to save us. And so he raises up Abraham, and through Abraham he raises up the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel goes into captivity, and God delivers them through Moses, and they are initiated. The last curse, the last plague that went upon Egypt was the angel of death. And God said, "If I see the blood, I will pass over you." And what happened is those families that chose to sacrifice a lamb, symbolic of Christ, the perfect lamb without a blemish, and they were to eat it and in haste to leave to be ready because the next day they were out of there, and they were to apply the blood on the doorpost, forming the sign of the cross. God taught them this for centuries to get to this point of something we're celebrating today. So this isn't just something Jesus said. "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." Fast forwarding on the fact of when you are saved by the blood of Christ, you are saved. You're saved from eternal death. You're saved from eternal punishment. So that's what we need to remember. Notice what he said here. Sometimes we think before this, in chapter 26, Christ said he desired to have this Passover meal with them. And some of you, we haven't done it here yet, we've done it in our other churches where we do the Seder meal, and understanding the Seder meal, that the Jews did the Passover, but then now Jesus is fulfilling it and adding another cup to say, yeah, you've been studying this for centuries and your Savior is coming. I'm the Savior, and now this new cup is my blood that is shed for forgiveness of sins. I want us to understand, God wants a relationship with you. I'm not putting down how I was raised because I'm thankful for it, but I grew up thinking God didn't like me. I grew up thinking almost, and it wasn't from my family, it wasn't necessarily from the church I was in, that God just put up with me. And I've shared with you what helped me understand that. I know my grandkids aren't perfect, but when I had grandkids, it helped me understand, you know, I just want to be around them. I just want to enjoy them. And that helped me understand, God just loves us. He created us. He created us for a relationship, and he loved us so much that he's willing to buy us back for our sin. And so that helped me. If you go to 20, I'm not going to go to the verse, but you go on up and back in Matthew 26, and he said, he desired. God wants to commune with us. He wants to save us. It is our choice, and we're the only thing in God's creation that can say no to him. He wanted us to remember this. To remember, I love you. I love you this much. That I gave my only begotten Son, that whosoever believes shall not perish, but have everlasting life. 1 Corinthians 11:23, we notice that Jesus was passing this on. Then Paul says, for I received from the Lord, which I pass on to you on the night that he was betrayed, that the Lord Jesus took bread. And I want us to focus on the first part of that. I'm passing this on to you. Yo, we've done the Lord's Supper. We're familiar with that. But you know what? Every day I need to remember God's grace. Because I need it. I think more, I need to give it to other people. I love God's grace for myself, but the rest of you, you're on your own. You may laugh at that, but let's go with the heart issues. And so, we need to pass this on. It was passed on to Paul, and it's something we need to continue. We've received, and then you go to Matthew 26:26. As they were eating, Jesus took the bread, blessed it. This is blessed by God. We talked about, we've gone through what we believe. And I think Dan's put it in a section on our website. So if you want to see those things. And when we talked about the two ordinances, and we talked about the differences between an ordinance, and these are the things God commanded for us to do. We're not saved by taking the Lord's Supper. We're not saved by being baptized. But these are things we should want to do as Christians to show whose we are. That he told us, his very last things, to remember this, to do this. This doesn't save us, but it reminds us of his grace. And it's blessed by God for us to do. And so your first villain, remembering God's grace means remembering it is given by God. We may say we can give people grace. The only grace I can give you is what's been given to me by God. And so what do we need to do with what we've been given? It's a present. We talked about this in BBS and different things. We talked about the kids and say there's a present here with your name on it. Most of us wouldn't sit there and just look at a present with our name on it forever and not open it. And so remembering the Lord's Supper is remembering that we need to accept his grace and his salvation. And so, Matthew 26:26 says that the last part, take and eat it. This is my body. Christ's sacrifice broken for us. Now again, when Jesus presents this in John, and it's interesting, we know the verse numbers don't have anything to do with it, but John 6:66, you know, right before that, Jesus says, unless you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you cannot be a part of the kingdom of God. And you're dealing with pagans, and they're thinking they're cannibals and drinking blood. And then John 6:66 says, many left him that day. And so let's imagine if you had your eyes closed, which some of you do already, you'll hopefully wake up before the Lord's Supper, okay? I'm glad I help you if you're sleeping. Maybe I should listen to my sermon so I can sleep. Anyway, all right. I'm just messing with you, okay? But anyway, John 6:66, if you were to close your eyes and imagine that Jesus is speaking to thousands of people and you're hearing for quite a while people walking away. So now let's pretend tons of people walked away, which they did after that. And Jesus turns to the disciples and Peter, Mr. Foot and Mouth Disease. He says everything else, everything everybody's thinking. And Jesus said, are you going to leave me too? And Peter says, where are we going to go? Because you have the words of life and of death. This is what we need to remember. See, I'm saved by grace, but you got to take that grace. You got to have faith in God. And maybe during the time of invitation, before we partake of the Lord's Supper, that's something you need to do. But the demons believe in Jesus. It's not going to do them any good. You have to take his body broken for you, his blood shed for you. Admit you can't do it even on your best day. Believe that he has done it. And receive him into your life. And so, your next fill-in, if we're gonna remember his grace, we have to receive his body that was broken for us. I know we're being convinced that nobody pays for anything, but that's not how it is in God's economy. We will pay for the things we've done, and either we'll pay for them or Christ will. And spoiler alert, it's probably better if you let Christ. Because if you pay for the things you've done, you're going to hell, eternal punishment, separation from God, and it's not going to be fun. And it was designed for Satan and his angels. But it's not just the punishment, but we must be sinless. And so his body was broken, he took our punishment. And then you go to Matthew 26, verses 27 and 28. Then he took the cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, and he said, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. So it was required that somebody has to pay for what they do. So either we pay for it or somebody else. And if you've had siblings, and siblings always get along, and siblings never try to nail something on the other sibling, but having four kids in the family, we had to have family court. And my sister's not here, she's probably not listening to the sermon, but one of my sisters, I won't name her, you know who, but I'm just teasing. One of my sisters blamed my brother for something, and she even planted the evidence in his pants and put it in the laundry bin. You know what I'm saying? Because she didn't want to get the punishment. It's not going to work that way with God. I am sick of everybody wanting everybody to be fair. And that's not fair. Build a bridge and get over it. Not everybody gets a trophy, and there's some that are better than others, not better people, but better at different things. Popped your bubble. Who cares? I love you. Okay? But here's the deal. We want God to be fair. You don't want God to be fair. You want God to be just. Because people like this movie, Sound of Freedom, it's great to get it out there, but we're in a horrific, sinful world that, yes, we need to lessen this, but this stuff is going to still go on. And these people, you want a just God that we may not see because these people are so slick. They know how to lie. And they know how to convince. And not all of them will get caught. But they won't get away from God. That's one extreme example. We want God to be just. And if God is going to be just, his standards here and me living up to that is way down there. And he said there must be a sacrifice, a payment, a perfect sacrifice. So Jesus comes into this world, fully God, fully man. He was tempted in all ways, so he knows what it's like to be tempted. Yet he did not sin. He was like Adam. Adam was not created with the sin nature. Jesus was not created with the sin nature. And as perfect as grandchildren can be, you can see them sin without anybody telling them how. You see what I'm saying? We have a sin nature. And so even on our best day, We can't pay for our sins. And you might say, well, and what our society's dealing with, well, I'm not as bad as they are. You're right, but how many sins does it take to send you to hell? And which sins are worse than others? God said, my standard is holy, and there needs to be a perfect sacrifice. So Jesus was tempted in all ways, did not sin, and willingly gave himself for us. And without the shedding of blood, God says, there can be no forgiveness of sin. May sound morbid to you, but it's the fact that God is just and there's a payment and it needs to be perfect. And so we can accept that he was punished for us, but he gave his blood and his life for us. Christ's innocent, sinless blood, his cleansing blood. And so your next fill-in, remembering grace means remembering to accept the sacrifice of his blood. You say, well, isn't that the same thing? But when you understand that God does all things well, that Jesus is foretold to be born in Bethlehem, and Bethlehem is the city of bread, and then Jesus says that he's the bread of life, and when we understand bread, I know all of you gluten-free, not making fun of you, or off your carbs, you know, you boring people, I'm just teasing, okay? But the thing about it is, it used to, bread was life, bread was the core, grain. And so Jesus being broken for us, and then his blood being shed so that we can have forgiveness of sins. When he, the perfect lamb, the bread of life. And so we have to accept his sacrifice. Blood is required because of a covenant. And if you understand the Abrahamic covenants that, you know, he teaches Abraham that an animal had to be sacrificed, and they would walk between those two making that covenant. And it was a very serious thing. And so this is a covenant between God and man. And so God took it seriously and he sacrificed his only begotten son. And Jesus did it willingly. You go on to verse 28. He talks about the covenant which was poured out. I love this. For many. For all have sinned and fallen short. None of us measure up. But whoever will call upon the name of the Lord, Romans 10 tells us, will be saved. This blood, this sacrifice, this covenant is for all that will receive it. Receive it. So your next fill-in, remembering the grace means remembering it is a covenant relationship free for all. Covenant is very serious. A covenant is between God and man. And that's why marriage is a symbol of that. Marriage is ordained by God. And it's the man, the woman, and God. Covenanting with God for that relationship. And that's why it is serious. And so this relationship with God, that's the first relationship we need to have, is a very serious relationship that requires a sacrifice to restore us. But I love the fact that it's for all. I'm sorry, it's a life from the pit of hell. Well, I've been too bad. I've gone too far. Do I like, let's mention Hitler. Do I like Hitler? No. But if Hitler, yes, he would pay for his crimes, but if he sought to receive Christ, this blood pays for that too. Sure. The same for Judas. And we need to understand that there has to be a cost no matter how high we measure the sin. You go back to 28, the end of it, notice the covenant given to all for the forgiveness of sins. We all fall short, all have sinned. The wages of sin is death. Romans tells us that. Christ's body and blood were broken and spilled for all of us so we can have forgiveness of sins, grace. Your last fill in there. Remembering grace means to remember everyone can be forgiven. Now, let's be really clear about this. I know everybody here forgives so easy. Now, I'm going to tell you, it's not because I'm a pastor. The more you learn God's word, the more you need to know. And the more you obey God's word, the more you know that if you're in sin and don't obey it, you're wrong. So I know I automatically start with forgiveness because, you know, Matthew says, if we refuse to forgive others, your heavenly Father will not forgive you. So yeah, it's a selfish motive. It's not that he doesn't forgive me, but I'm not going to grow. My prayers are going to hit the ceiling. And so I'm still understanding. I want to automatically forgive because I know that's what God wants me to do. But that, I struggle with the fact that person hasn't changed and they're still, I was going to say something else, but I won't. They're still not a nice person. Okay, let's just put it that way. Okay, but that has nothing to do with anything. I've been forgiven for more. I need to forgive them. And so everyone can be forgiven, whether it's Hitler, Judas, or me. So why do we need to remember this? Why do we need to remember grace? 1 Corinthians 11:26 says this. For as often as you eat and drink, eat this bread and drink this cup, notice the last part. You proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Now we know, as we enter in to talk about conversational evangelism, that one of the distortions people have, they're distorted about themselves, their sin. They're distorted about God's standard, that he is holy. And they're distorted about Christ, that he's unique. What is unique about Christ, Buddha, Muhammad, Confucius, all these, you can go to their grave. You can't Christ. What is unique about Christ is you don't hear any of them say in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. We need to understand this, that we need to proclaim his death. What we're doing here right now is a witness. This is the salvation gospel story on what the cost was. What we're going to be doing here helps us remember, maybe I need to give other people grace. Or maybe I'm letting Satan beat me up on something that God has forgiven me on, and I need to remember his grace. Or what we're doing here to remember also is the fact I am taking his grace too lightly. In the sense of, I don't believe in cheap grace because he gave his only begotten son. I believe in costly grace. A lot of things, I don't know where you're at today. But doing this helps us to remember the grace of God for ourselves and for others. Because we remember to practice the Lord's Supper, we remember his body was broken for us, his blood was spilled for us. It all and all to proclaim the gospel, the good news, to remember the grace of God, the gospel to the end, that we're to go and speak the gospel to the ends of the earth, to the ends of the age. So the question I have for you, I've got a few questions. We're going to have a time invitation. And if you need Christ, receive Christ. Some of you use this time to look at your life, and it's not, sometimes you know, there's been times I haven't taken the Lord's Supper. And if you don't, nobody's going to look down on you. Because he says take it seriously. But I want you to understand this about the Lord's Supper. You don't take the Lord's Supper and it's like, okay, was I perfect today? Did I do anything wrong? Okay, I'm good, I can take it. That's junk. What you need to know is my heart right? Lord, search me, Psalms 139, 23 and 24. See if there's any way, and use this time to prepare your heart to remember his grace, to receive his grace, to do all those things. So a few questions I have for you before you have this time. Have you received a sacrifice? This is going to do you no good. This is symbolic. This is not the literal blood and flesh of Christ. We are to remember this and to remind us of his grace. If you haven't received his grace and his sacrifice for salvation, talk to me during this time. Receive that. We need to focus on his body that was broken for us and remember that, and his blood that was shed for us. And some of you might be, God, how have I treated this covenant relationship with you? Have I treated it loosely? Or do I take that you and I's relationship is the most important thing in my life that causes all the other relationships to come out of that? And then how about this one? Siri, you need to shut up. I hate you. Okay? All right. Never listens to me. Can't do a voice text, but Siri, every time in the sermon. Okay, whatever. I need to figure out the words I'm saying and go from there. Maybe Siri needs to get saved. Probably. Okay. But here's the deal. The last thing, what about everybody can be forgiven? It might be, yeah, I know I'm saved, but God doesn't like me. Lay that down. What about those people in your life that you've forgiven, but they're still difficult? Give it to God. Mm-hmm. Use this time to lay down whatever and remember his grace. Amen. Let's stay seated. Let's have this time of invitation. If you need to come and see me, we can do this, but we're just going to have a time of reflection, and the deacons will come up here in just a few minutes. But let's use this time to pray and focus. Lord, if there's someone that needs to make a move towards you today, I pray that they'll do that this time. I pray, Holy Spirit, we know that you're here, and I pray, help us to ask the question, are we remembering your grace? And help us to clean these things in our hearts in this time of reflection. In your name, Jesus.